Catholic spirituality. His ordinary powers, God does not give grace to anyone except to another person. God uses people in our lives, our greatest channels of His grace. This means the husband is a channel of grace to his wife, the wife a channel of grace to her husband. Parents, let it be channels of grace to their children. Children are meant to be channels of grace to their parents. Everyone who enters our lives is meant by God to be a channel of grace. I use the word channel deliberately. The grace, of course, comes from God, but there must be a need, a vehicle, or a channel through which, or by which, or better, through whom or by whom that grace is communicated by God. Thus, the graces of family are corresponding to each other, one brother to another, one sister to another. And this is something that deserves, unexaggerated, a semester of reflection. The measure of a person's channeling grace to others depends on that person's own union with God. There are channels in the degree and the measure of grace to others, and we are ourselves united with God. I repeat, every person's union with God is a measure by which that person used by God to communicate His grace to everyone whose life that person even touches. The graces received are always both light for the mind and strength for the will. Knowing the two principles grace that we need in life, and these graces are always to respond to. A grace, by definition, is a divine invitation to God's will. Let's see a little more about what we mean by being a channel of grace. The language of the church, the term channel of grace, means something external on which God confers internal actual graces on people. And thus, the very presence another person is a source of grace to that person. What we say, what we don't say, how we act, how we act, that person's actions determine whether we are a channel of grace to that other person, what kind of grace he will channel. And And this very thing we hold as sure grace comes in. Every creature in any way, in all others, has been my God to be on the feet now for the fourth time. Has been my God to be a child of grace. That is a providential means of helping that person reach heaven. Not what grace is. Grace is a gift to us by God, by which it will know what God wants and the strength to do it. That is what I've been teaching over the years. There's no such thing as chance or coincidence in our lives. Does not exist. No, never enters our lives by chance. No. No one says anything, does anything that affects us without meaning that God wants us to react in order to profit, to benefit spiritually that person's words, actions, what he does with their present or not. In God's providence, God consciously, deliberately, planned from all eternity, bring certain people to our lives. Why? We're asking God to explain what He does. He brings certain people into our lives so that through them I come to know, love, and serve God here on earth and thereby reach our heavenly destiny. I will speak for hours about the total absence of chance in God's providence. Nothing ever happens with God. Everything is planned by Him. In other words, in God's providence, He wants every action, every word, for that matter, every act of the words, people's silence, be a child of grace, and always you might benefit from the experience, see it as an action of God that is to lead us to heaven. There's one thing we should believe, nothing ever happens in our lives. The verb to happen is a pagan word. Nothing, indeed nothing, ever happens in our lives. Heaven is planned by God to lead us. Closer to heaven, you are on earth, or assured of reaching Him. Eternity. Thus, it was not coincidence or your chance to marry the man whom you did. That marriage was planned. Don't say it. It was planned from all eternity. In marriage, the spouse, father to wife, wife to husband, have been divinely chosen means of giving each other the graces that each needs, and in God's providence, when it is needed, and the members of the whole family are correspondingly providential instruments of divine blessings for one another. That, I repeat, is God's intention. Our react to these graces is, of course, on the mystery of life. What to see in everyone who enters our lives, how painful, I repeat, no matter how painful that person may be to us, because, as we've said more than once, in all the graces, not all the grace that God gives us, payments. There is painful grace. So just a short word will be called the adversaries, those who don't believe this. A word which we use, they don't quite know what they're saying. Those ones we call secularists, whom this world holds sacred, in the only real world which exists, the really real world, we cannot see with our bodily eyes or touch with our bodily hands. That world must be real, meaning that the moment we die, our bodies still may look the same, weight-wise, they weigh the same, but something is wrong. What is the body? It's spirit or life. That's what we're talking about. Again, they're called naturalists. They deny the whole supernatural order. There is no grace in those whom we call naturalists. And as a result, they have deeply, profoundly affected our modern society. But on the subject, let me tell you, whatever you do, protect yourselves from being needlessly influenced by what we call naturalism. There is a world occupied, shall I say, by God. The real world, the one except for which we could see, touch, nothing, is a world of the supernatural, the world of grace. In this life, we call it grace. What we call it eternity, we call it glory. In our country, now this needs to be said, there are countless, what I call, nominal Christians. They may even go to church, but as far as their lives are concerned, they do not believe there's an invisible world that can be seen, touched, or felt. There's a real world. And over that real world is God. period. God has no size, no shape, no weight. Nobody has ever seen God. Yet is God. Only He exists. His God is total master of the world in which He lived. Until God created human beings, we believe the first creature that God made were the angels. He could not see the angels by the eyes. Still trusted in the heavens. Only hear an angel talking. I must get held on the subject that we're dealing with. The real world is invisible to the eyes. The real world can be seen by the senses. Now, a few words of the evidence we have for the fact that God intends all of us be children of grace to others. And of course to us. Here's a statement of St. Paul, who is the church bases her teaching, from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 28. Says St. Paul, we know that for those who love God, everything works together unto God. Repeat. We know that for those who love God, how they work together unto good. Now, of course, pleasant and unpleasant experiences we have, St. Paul is telling us everything. While we love God, everything works together unto good. Christ teaches throughout the Gospels that everything in our lives under the providence of Himself. As He told us, not a hair falls from our head except for the will of God. Repeat. No such thing is happening. No such thing as chance. Chance is a pagan word. The verb to happen is part of the pagan vocabulary. St. Paul, speak to husbands and wives. Remind them, like old St. Paul, they are members of Christ's body, which is the church. St. Paul describes marriage. The most famous to coin. St. Paul describes marriage as a great sacrament. Turn his book to the Ephesians, chapter 5, and describes it in length, verses 21 to 32. The church, we believe, is universal sacrament of salvation. Within the church, husband, wives, and children are the visible channel of grace to one another. That is why it is so important, as so many of you already know, the husband you marry were meant by God, be a child of grace to for your salvation. He to you, you to him. The true God placed in your lives. Again, you are a child of grace for them. And you are a child of grace to them, and they are a child of grace to you. As we've said how many times, that all graces are pleasant, all graces are sweet, and all graces are easy, shall I say, to endure. The general subject which this conference depends is that in God's providence, we are all meant to be channels of grace to others. Others are meant to be channels of grace to us. I'm not sure I've ever said this before. If someone is a channel of grace for you, in God's name, remove that person, that thing from your life. All the friends we can have, the movies we can watch, the books we can read, that are not what a safe state. Tell the grace to us. It was my way of introduction. No grace. The eight implications. Use marriage as an example. Knowing very well that the spouses need to draw on their faith more than to see themselves as channels of grace to each other. Husband is a channel of grace to you. You are meant to be a channel of grace to him. You parents, and be child of grace to your children, and they, how young they may be, men by God, be child of grace to you. Repeat for about the fifth time. Not all graces are pleasant, not all graces are easy. All graces are simple. Normally, this is the heart of a Catholic understanding of marriage, of living with others, of your friends and acquaintances. I'm going to spend hours distinguishing between the people in your life whom you call your friends, and those living your life, God does not want you. Of course, you love everyone, but God does not want everyone to be our friend. Of course, child of grace are not what a safe student, always the same, I use the word external grace, to us. All these are written on this subject. External grace is a person, place, or thing and God put in our lives, we have souls of eternal grace. And the same grace in the morning can be present, while the evening may be painful. In other words, graces can be pleasant, and we spontaneously thank God for wonderful miles of years. Then, in a bad mood, you made the grace, or the painful grace, very patiently endure that grace. Only for saying this, what fools we can be. We are so spontaneously, naturally, desirous of having pleasant things, pleasant people in our lives. There is something painful in our lives. We're almost tempted. I think it is not a grace. What a mistake. There's one thing I want to share with you. In this, am I correct? In the midst of a 2-4-day retreat, am I correct? I'm trying to use these 2 days to their full advantage. In God's name, God expect everything in your life which comes from God to be pleasant, or easy, or simple. These graces are not all, but always the same. They be called external graces, that which touches our lives directly. They be pleasant. We spontaneously thank God for this pleasant person, for pleasant experience. They can be painful. And then, but if patiently endure, don't tell about it. Jim, it's so unpleasant today. I've endured it. Watch your language. These, if all of these generations, can be tempting. Watch it. Then we must ask God for the light to know how we are to respond to this temptation. Now get to your husbands. Can a husband be a temptation to his wife? He sure can be. Shall I add, can a wife be a temptation to her husband? A very safe state. And the key factor is that among the creatures that God puts in our lives as a vehicle of His grace, none are closer to us, or more constant, or more clearly part of God's providence than those persons whom God has placed closest to us in our lives. Your husbands, your children, your father and mother, your brother and sister, our spouses, our children, our parents, our family, our kindred. And often exaggerate the importance of seeing among the relatives that we have, see them as sources of grace to us. God planned from all eternity every family in the world. Of course, we must resort to faith to see this as the secret of peaceful and happy life with others. I repeat, we must see by faith in every person that is our lives, especially those who are nearest to us, that God is goodness has put them into our lives as the means of maintaining our peace, and how troublesome those people may be. And we are to be happy. Oh, what a retreat I could give on happiness. Not just 3 days. For 30 days. To see happiness in the painful people who God places on our lives. The essence of happiness is the experience of doing God's will. Close the book. I repeat, happiness is the experience that God wants us to have in doing His will. With unpleasant people, clearly, obviously, we are not to be unpleasant to unpleasant people. And when you marry them, concentrating heavily on marriage, God from all eternity foresaw whom you would marry. God wants and wanted you to be happy. You know your husbands very well. Especially you know what is unpleasant about your husband. But because the thing is unpleasant, hearing should not make you unhappy. Oh, how many years it took me to learn that. Happiness does not depend on experiencing pleasant things. If that were true, there would not be a single canonized saint in the world. All saints suffered deeply. That's when they became saints. Hear it. They enjoyed. Say it again. They enjoyed their sufferings. I will not begin a 30-day retreat. I'm sharing with you lifetime experience in dealing with so many people. Some who have suffered extremely, but remain deeply happy. Repeat. Faith alone can teach us this. Faith alone can sustain us. What's the secret? We we must see God. Now, a series of prepositions. We must see God within, behind, beneath, below, around every person in my life. First of all, in mainly every person in my family, as a gift. No matter how hard or difficult or demanding that may be, on my loving God and thanking Him. Don't say it. Thanking Him for the important person or persons He has placed in my life. Let me say it. Heaven is won through pain. You had a pain to get to heaven. Now the secret is having the faith to see God. I repeat the prepositions. Within, behind, beneath, below, around, everything that happens, have you mistakenly said in our lives, nothing ever happens in our lives, and the world is nothing. From this perspective, now again, going back to marriage, there is no such thing as marital or family problems. Well, what are you talking about? I'm talking from, and I'll say it, 85 years of experience. I'm here with thousands of souls. There are no problems. No gifts of God's promise. Oh, my dear retreatants, how we need to see God. Now repeat those prepositions. Behind, beneath, below, around everything that we experience in life. The one thing that I want to make clear, no one gets to heaven easily. There are no cheap ways of being saved. Heaven is expensive. It's wise, I'm sure I've said before. Most of the fathers of the church teach, but they're mainly saved by the pain, the suffering that we endure. You even coined the word endure. Something which is difficult, unpleasant. You are to enjoy. I know what I'm saying. We're to enjoy these unpleasant, painful people, unpleasant and painful experiences. Well, that's the difference between mere human reason and faith. I trust I am speaking to women who have the faith. Everything in our lives is part of God's providence. Well, then, the conclusion. We've touched on this before. We spend, I'll repeat, a 3-day retreat just on this one subject. Prayer. In God's name, pray. Pray constantly. We must always be in contact with God. Keep asking Him. Here you see what God wants you to do. And the key word is you. What God wants me to do. And we all have, thank God, enough difficulties, enough problems in our lives to need life. It's in Scripture. We are to pray always. And that word always is not an exaggeration. See that God wanted to do something, but what? What do you want me to do? And don't wait until it, again to use that unwritten word, it happens. Pray beforehand. Anticipate your life. I mean this. In the morning, anticipate the afternoon. The afternoon, anticipate the evening. And pray in God's name, anticipating whom you are to meet, whom you will be talking to, what you should say. Oh, what a difference. What a world of difference between prayerful people. Shall I call them prayerless people? Ask the Lord what He wants me to do. And if at all possible, before it occurs, so when it happens, use that word, I will know what I'm supposed to do. Say Ignatius. Ignatius, follow the society of Jesus. Matter of regular practice, he prayed 7 times a day. May you see what God wanted you to do the next 7th of that same day. Anticipate the future and pray, asking God to enlighten you now where you should go, how much you should spend, whom you should talk to, what you should say, what you should not say. Oh, when I see 2 people in conversation who happen to overhear them, I say a prayer for them, Lord, have these people ever prayed to know what to talk about? I have 3 recommendations. That's the first. Find out before Him what God wants me to do, whether doing physically, or saying verbally, or enjoying painfully. Secondly, then choose, and do the choosing beforehand. Choose what you have found out God wants you to do. A few people make choices after they have prayed. Be bold to say, never make a choice until and unless they have first prayed and asked God what choice to make. Then choose it. both a pleasant choice or not. Having been asked for life, what the God has told you and chooses. One more recommendation. First, pray to see what God wants you to do, and the word is you to do. Then choose what He wants. That's not enough. Thirdly, then do it. And be sure you have the grace to carry that through successfully and pleasing to God. God wanted you in the last 2 minutes is to be patient. And also to know what I'm going to say next. The most important thing in the eternal grace everyone's life we enter is to be a person who is always, I read that out, always praying. Talk to our Lord, I read this constantly. You talk to somebody else. Continue the conversation. But don't stop. Talk with God. Lord Jesus, how much we have to do in life. Well, the secret is do what you want us to do. But I want to share where we can go what you want us to do. That is to be in constant contact with you, which means to be praying about a part of truth, to be praying always, because those who pray learn to know what is God's will. Those who pray always have the strength to do what God wants. Amen. Thank you for listening. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.